This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the last chance for the supporters to say goodbye to Gabby, who's been a great servant of the club. So, Gabs...
Just want to say thank you to all the support and keep supporting the team well that we've been doing all season. And I think we've got a great bunch of lads here and hopefully they can achieve their goal. Thank you.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, like, he'd lay the phone down and start playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Button's throat. Maybe caught Middlesbrough unawares for a second there. Doma again, chip ball to the back post, and it's nodded home. A late blow for Middlesbrough, and it's inflicted by Robert Snodgrass.
Borough Fan TV outside the Riverside. We've just been beaten 1-0 by Aston Villa. I have Mark with me, a Villa fan, a happy Villa fan. Mark, being a Villa fan, have we got a good one in Pulis?
Mate, don't make me laugh. If you're after boring football, you've got the right man.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of My Old Man Said, and we're back on the eve of the playoffs. And joining me for this episode is the man who we've just found out earlier on today that he has got the contract to design the Villa kit. Not next season, but the season after. Dan Rogers of the Villa Underground. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Obviously a larger brand than Luke, so we are delighted to be unveiling a range of children's bibs, ladies' lingerie, and the fully emblazoned Samba Mamba.
Well, they're just giving the contract to anybody nowadays, but I think the main thing is...
Local producer of Mambas.
I think Fanatics have the license that they can basically try to license off anything to get sponsorship. And so there'll be sponsors on the ass, sponsors on the socks, sponsors on the lapel. We'll see what happens. Before the credits played there, we had... Now, some people see him as a legend of the Aston Villa, Gabby Abong-Lahore. Even though, somebody says, just because he's not done anything in the last couple of seasons... there's no need to bag him out. They said that to me on social media, and I said, excuse me, 2 seasons, the last 8 seasons. But anyway, regardless of what he has done and what he hasn't done, but he's been here a very long time, and so he gets his chance to say, John Terry gives him the mic, to say a goodbye and maybe tell us a few anecdotes about his time at Villa and what it was like, you know, joining as a 14-year-old, and the great days he's had and his highlights, and meant nothing to him, did it?
It wasn't exactly a like a Nobel Prize winning collection speech, was it?
He could have at least thanked us for the money or something. I mean, come on.
At least said thank you.
Yeah, at least say thank you.
That's two two syllables, so maybe stretching it.
Before we get in the show, let's have another speech. This time by our esteemed captain, John Terry.
Amazing.
Got the captain here, John Terry. What do you want to say to the fans after the season?
Well, I just want to say on behalf of all the players, the support's been superb. I think as the season's gone on, the crowds have increased, the supporters have got behind the lads, and we are where we are today. So we have a few games left in the playoffs, and we need everyone behind us because the lads have been superb as well. But thank you from all the players for everything.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, so
amazing.
Next week, and then playoffs. We've got to do it, yeah.
It's a massive club and deserves to be in the Premier League. There's no doubt about that. That was the ambition at the start of the season, to be in the Premier League, and that's not changed since we started. So, you know, with the quality we have, a little bit of luck, let's hope so.
And a great bunch of lads as well. You can really
see. Well, a great bunch of lads. David O'Leary.
To our success this season. Unfortunately, we've not gone up automatically, which was the target, but.
Oh, he's let the cat out of the bag.
Well, unfortunately, John, that's the championship, so.
Well, who is that plonker with the mic that says everything's amazing? Amazing!
Amazing. John, you're amazing. I haven't said anything. Amazing!
We finished fourth. Amazing!
Wasn't the plan, though, apparently.
No, I think you let the cat slip out the bag there where he said the target was automatic. Well, I think it was everybody's target. apart from those who want to stay in the championship forever. And as the playoffs get closer, their number seems to be growing. I think it's called yellow belly time. Bosses.
But David, what's coming up in the show?
Right, coming up in the show, arranging playoff semi for Villa Borough. Gary Monk's bunk saves the Blues. Is Villa's kit a load of shit? Question mark. Wenger, bye-bye baggies, and a lot more. But first of all, oh, just a quick tip before we carry on in the show. If you update WhatsApp, instead of taking a week to reply to me, it'll only take like 24 hours now. There's a new update. It's like a week quicker.
I didn't get that when I was away. I think I was somewhere in the middle of a golf course in Berlin when I got that, and I was like, nah, it costs data.
But data's free now, I think.
I don't take the risk in the middle of nowhere, David. Especially post-Brexit. Juncker will charge me one way or another.
Anyway, now you're on domestic soil. Look at Play Store or iPhone or whatever you are.
Once a week.
Just update that app. Just to speed up the process of this podcast, because I get all these people saying, hey, what's happening? Why isn't there a show? Well, I'm just sitting here playing with myself, just waiting for... waiting for a WhatsApp reply.
It's that raging semi that you've got for the playoffs. Sorry, it's the playoff
it is,
semi.
It's a playoff semi.
Don't get confused.
Semi.
You have to be careful how you Google it.
Right, 3 points to start off the show. Wenger calls it quits, finally. I think he was kind of pushed out the door there, really.
Dissimilar to what happened to Robert Pires, really.
Not too dissimilar to Alex McLeish. I mean, come on. He got. I think if he got to the Europa League and he won, I think. I mean, that would have been the perfect send off. But it would also have been a good two fingers, I think, or giving those fans the finger that were trying to. I mean, they obviously changed their tune on the last day when everybody was cheering his name.
Oh,
actually, it was,
man, I found that a bit cringe because they've been hounding the man for seasons now.
Also, the first time the Emirates has ever had any volume. Incredible.
Yes, it's true.
I wonder if they'll learn from that and try to replicate that next season. Well, they're saying that. I mean, their home form has been, I think it's the second best, isn't it, this season in the Premier League?
Apart from Man City, I think.
And their away form's been absolutely shocking. That's what's cost them. So at least the season ticket holders should be happy, and they shouldn't be moaning about him and trying to harass him out. Do you think it's going to bite them in the arse, this? Because it's going to be tough getting somebody who can, A, better him, and B, I mean, there's a reason why, you look at what he's won recently even. I mean, Arsenal fans are saying, oh, the last few years have tarnished his legacy. Well, in the past 4 years, he's won 3 FA Cups, 3 Charity Shields, and obviously was in the semi-final of European Trophy this season. So they seem to forget that Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea are throwing a ton of cash at this. Liverpool as well, and there's no divine right, you know, in the top six. You're going to be, if you're winning trophies, that should be a plus point in that kind of company, and he's kind of still maintained that, even if his if they've slipped a little in the league.
Wenger's background speaks for itself. I think that you wonder whether he peak too soon with that invincible squad, and you know, and then he finds himself against a backdrop of, you know, not only Man City, but before it would have been Chelsea, wouldn't it? Who went?
Yeah.
You know, spent millions and millions.
But I mean, going back to that the European Cup final against Barcelona, I mean, Jens Lehmann got sent. I remember watching that in Cannes.
Mm.
France, with a load of Arsenal fans, and Lehmann getting sent off unfairly. I thought they had a team at that point which was fantastic. I mean, they wiped the floor with Mittelmeier. Teams like Juventus in their own backyard, they'd play them off the park. And against Barcelona, I mean, this wasn't the Barcelona really of Messi. It was the Barcelona of like Samuel Eto'o, who was on his kind of final years.
His OAP then, I think.
You know, even when Jens Lehmann went off, they still went 1-0 up with 10 men. But obviously 10 men against any team that you're going to play in a European Cup final isn't going to last that long. And obviously they got caught out in the end. But if that one bad referee decision, and if he'd won that European Cup, then
a refereeing decision in Barcelona's favour.
Yeah, I know.
Goodness.
In terms of foreign managers in the English game, he did a little bit better than Joseph Venglos. We'll give him that.
Marginally, yeah.
Just marginally. On the subject of modern-day managerial legends, it's good to hear that Sir Alex Ferguson is on the mend now after it was a brain hemorrhage, wasn't it? Which didn't sound too promising after the initial news reports, but it's good that he's kind of on the mend. I mean, he was a massive nemesis for Villa, but I mean, he's one of those that you respect.
He would generally speak quite positively of Villa, and I mean, not in and around the game, but he would often be quite... He would recognise, I think, the stature of the two clubs coming together generally, Ferguson.
Yeah, he did actually have respect. Even though he beat us every time, and he would beat us in the final minutes in many games, in injury time, he did have a respect. And I always remember the Gerard Houllier game where he said at half-time Villa should have been like 5 or 6 nil up. It's not as if he's kind of belittling the opposition. He always spoke well of us. So all our best wishes go to him, and hopefully he can complete getting on the mend and be up and at it.
Needs to take up the vacant Arsenal post, so... Surprise!
Well, he got to say goodbye to Wenger, didn't he, at Old Trafford when they were there. It was last week, so it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Right, moving on. Staying with the Premier League, I think this season, I mean, I can't remember the league tables from the last few seasons, but this season it's really rubber stamped it as a league that is officially about the top six clubs. It's not as bad as France, where Paris Saint-Germain did the quadruple this season because for lack of competition. But outside the top six clubs in the Premier League, every other club, the remaining 14 clubs, had a negative goal difference. And only the top seven teams won more games than they lost. And there's no, you know, the equation is quite simple. If you won more games than you lost, then you got into Europe. And congratulations, Burnley and Mr. Deitch, for replacing us as the claret and blue team that goes to Europe.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Burnley in Europe. I mean, everybody's saying, oh, yeah, you know... the championship's better. It's kind of is in an old school way, but football's changing, and we are going to be Sheffield Wednesday, Forest, Leeds if we do not sort it out. Because these other teams, I mean, Burnley can walk into Europe.
I mean, they've done it relatively comfortably, haven't they?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. Well, all the other teams are just, the only thing they're playing for is survival. And, you know, like Newcastle, I think we mentioned it on the last show, when they won and they were in 10th place, and the headline is Geordie's secure Premier League status. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the 10th. It should be a given. Huddersfield players going crazy after getting that point against Chelsea. And you think, is it because they want to play in the Premier League, or is it because they're celebrating because, we don't have to go back to the Championship?
Oh, no more Villa Park on a Tuesday night.
That will become the new saying. It'll be, Messi's good, but is he any good on a wet and windy Wednesday night at Villa Park. Anyway, moving down to the Championship, as the Baggies have done. A nice segue there.
Oh, well, looks like a Championship for us. Just want to say, all I've ever known is Baggies in the Prem. It's really, really upset me. You know, unbelievable. I think, personally, Big Dave was in charge for longer than he actually was. We would have escaped it and wouldn't be in the mess we're in now. But you know what? Baggies did our fucking die, mate. Love you.
Darren Moore wins Manager of the Month but can't stop the rot. I mean, he got some great results, actually. Beating Manchester United, drawing against Liverpool. Do you think they'll keep him? They probably won't, because he's black.
And actually good at his job, which seems to be a reason for getting rid of Albion managers these days.
Because sometimes, like, assistants, they step in and you look at them and you go, he's just an assistant and, you know, he's never going to make it. Like, yeah, Eric Blacks, for example.
Mm.
But Darren, I think he's got more scope for him, especially in a championship, like Chris Hughton did. He built his reputation and then got taken seriously. And hopefully he'll get a chance to do the same next season. Hopefully we won't be playing them because we'll be in the Premier League trying to win more than we lose.
I mean, just quickly on the Albion, because we don't need to dwell. I think that one thing that jumped out at me is it shows what a chronically bad decision appointing Pardew was, and it's like, who thought that was a good idea? But secondly as well, it just show you that we had this conversation when the Villa went down, that in amongst a squad, they were clearly good enough to survive in my view, but they just, did those players just think, oh, screw it, we can't be bothered with these clowns that we've got in? What's that change in mentality? It always intrigues me that teams suddenly find a resurgence when it's too late.
Yeah, and Swansea, I thought, I mean, when Clement came in, I thought that would be them kind of safe. But he failed to get the party started. But then when Cavalier came in, which you thought, that was kind of an odd appointment because he just got fired from a championship team. But he got them rocking and rolling when he first came in. But the problem is Swansea have lost...
Yeah, they bounced, didn't
he? Yeah, but Swansea have completely lost their identity of what we used to celebrate.
I agree.
Swansea for. And their fans are kind of complaining about this now on and off the field. They've become a shambles. Ever since that the American deal, I think they're the only team that have got supporters trust owning, was it 21-22% of the club,
right.
And they weren't even consulted when the American buyout came in, and that kind of left a load of bad blood. So off the field, it's become a bit of a shambles, and then on the pitch, they're just not playing in the way they used to. And
it's actually it's over. Bonkers one, isn't it? Because I mean, the Albion were well run up until about a year ago, had what, 40 million in the bank that's just evaporated.
Yeah,
watch that space. Swansea the same, went from being quite an attractive footballing team who caught a lot of people off guard, and now they're an absolute shambles.
Because, you know, they were an example of what we would hope Villa would aspire to in the way we conducted ourselves and had an identity, and in the way that
the Swansea engine.
Yeah, the manager would not be the be-all and end-all.
Yes.
The team would be there, the players would be bought for that team and that system, and the manager would basically just take
head coach,
over.
Wasn't it,
yeah,
really?
Head coach kind of role.
Mm.
Meanwhile, in the Championship, Gary Monk Spunk has managed to... I spoke to Chris Budd about this, how Fulham... Mm. They had a... I mean, it was always going to be difficult to go to packed St Andrews and get something from the Blues. I mean, they're going to kick themselves that Cardiff obviously didn't win in the end at home. And if they'd beaten the Blues, they'd have gone up.
They'd have gone up,
And wouldn't have to mess around with the likes of
I
us.
Bet they can't
But Blues full house, it only happens once in a blue moon, or twice in a blue moon if they turn up to see the Villa as well. But I don't know, Gary Monk might get them going next season when he starts to put his identity on the team a bit more, because obviously he's just did a patch-up job in the time he's been there so far. Sunderland, the main thing about Sunderland's relegation to me, it's back-to-back relegation, is it becomes this excuse for Villa's failure, where if we don't get promoted this season, people will just say, well, you know, Bruce has done a good job because at least we haven't done what Sunderland have done. It could have happened to us.
No, dropping to the third tier is, it's not unheard of. It has happened before, but it happened to Man City, didn't it? As well as
Leeds, Forest.
Leeds. And Sheffield Wednesday and United. But I think it's the manner in which Sunderland have crashed out the division that they've never looked like staying up, really, have they? Even with, you know, I mean, they had Graben in the team scoring goals. It was just they're shipping so many and they just don't look like a team at all.
Yeah, because once you make that double drop, of the 22 teams that have dropped from the Premier League, down to the third tier. Only six have ever made it back, including Wolves now this season. Although saying that, two of them have gone on to win the Premier League, Leicester and Manchester City. So there's hope for Sunderland. Maybe we need to get down there. We need to drop another league just to get that kind of... It's like when you pull back a spring.
So maybe Di Matteo was onto something then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Shit, I think we fired Di Matteo too soon.
And we were, weren't we bottom at one point this season?
We were. I think we were bottom for one game. Yeah. So yeah, because you pull that spring back, it increases that tension, and then you fly up straight to the top of the Premier League and win the title. Yeah. Yeah. Shit, we missed out a trick.
Now it's time for Twitter with Tony. Tweets of the season special. 3rd of September. Watch Dunkirk. Heard news of North Korea nuclear test. Really need a peaceful world. Fighting on football pitches is enough. November 20th. Live fishes will be upstream. Only dead fishes go with flow. Let's stay stronger, stand together and go up. Up! Up! November 22nd. Some Villa haters went extremely ugly by spreading rumours and then saying I was caught in trouble and escaped away. Made the public listed company's minor shareholders panic to drop stocks. It's really ugly for those deliberately trying to destroy others. Hashtag only be stronger. November 22nd. Very brilliant to talk to Prince and Princess, a great couple. A true Villa fan with even more knowledge about our club than me. December 27th. A hectic work and business travel schedule month. Just recovering from 1 week serious flu. No enough free time, or most time inaccessible to Twitter. Hopefully, it will also end the disaster month with a win. Time to recovery. January 11th. I'm confident we have turned around the club from a very serious crisis and improved a lot though. It's still far away from our long-term target. We'll get there sooner or later. Being negative all the time doesn't help anything. Stand together to a unifying culture. April 15th. For me, the main reason to love football is I've always been hoping this is the piece of world we can experience the love and warmth. We can escape from the ugliness of politics or forget the cruelty of bloody commercial field. Hashtag something Hope Villa does. April 29th. All the time, I wish I'm not the owner, but just a fan like all you. Honest words. Hashtag OTV. Hashtag all lads.
Before we get on to the playoff talk, let's just go through the bits of news that have been happening, or, well, news events. This new kit deal, they were meant to have a consultation where they would explain it to, you know, a bit like the fan consultation groups where you'd be invited. So instead of, you know, I was going to write about my impressions about this, but I said, you know, let's do what good journalists do and hold on, and then we can ask the questions for the grey areas that are in my mind. But hopefully the away kit's not going to be grey. I think it's actually going to be white. But now this consultation's not going to take place until, right before the playoff final if we get there. But you get the press release, it's saying how fans are, it's so great for the fans, it puts them like right at the forefront of the design and everything. Well, no fans have been consulted for the design. And I think the only fan that it's a good deal for is obviously, Luke.
Luke.
Mr. Luke 77, because obviously he gets the chance as a Villa fan to design the kit.
That's pretty cool.
Which is cool for him.
As a fan.
Yeah. I noticed that they'd whitewashed the fact that he was born in Walsall. He's, you know, he's designed Warsaw's Wembley suits and all that kind of stuff, and completely. Oh, we're born and bred in Birmingham. It's a bit like what Australians do to famous New Zealanders, like, I don't know, Russell Crowe, where they suddenly claim them as their own if they become successful.
They claim them as a colony, like we used to.
Exactly. So all the previous coverage of Luke's escapades and the growth of, you know, Luke 77 has been Warsaw born and bred. Now he's Birmingham born and bred. But anyway, we're not getting at him. He's got a great gig. The thing is, with Kits, what do fans need to know? Normally, it's you get the headline and it's X amount of years, X amount of money, and then you know, whoever it is. No mention of money. It's so deeply buried here. And you're thinking,
maybe there isn't any. Oh.
I mean, Luke would have paid X amount, but not a lot. I mean, because he's not up there with your Nikes and your Adidas, even Under Armour. So Fanatics would have paid, I think, maybe you've paid to get the license so they can then license out, sell that license of parts of the kit, or, like, for example, get a sponsor for the training wear. Maybe would they get the money for that?
Well, isn't that how these companies work? I mean, Fanatics, it's sort of been, I don't know,
it's like a warehouse,
overemphasized as being some sort of quite revolutionary deal, and it is in terms of the Luke element, I think. But the Fanatics thing, they generally produce, and then there's a couple of other large manufacturers who essentially badge up stuff like Nike and Adidas, etc. in the UK. Yeah. And Fanatics are part of that supply chain. The only difference is, as far as I can see it, is that they're the named supplier rather than not being so transparently named as they would be for other clubs.
They bought Kitbag, which is obviously one of the big e-commerce retailers. So that's their... And if you look at Kitbag and you look at the Aston Villa website, it's, you know, exactly the same pricing and the layouts and everything. And this is part of... It's really an extension of Villa's outsourcing, which they did with the Villa shop and various, you know, the catering and various other aspects. That was one of the big things that Wyness kind of brought in, is this culture of outsourcing. So it's part of that. So how much Fanatics have put in the pot, how much Luke have put in the pot, is up to debate, because you've also, you're doing it at a time before our destiny in terms of what league we're going to be in is known. Because if you're in the Premier League, they've hardly hatched a deal where Luke, let's say, is paying $500,000 now, and if we get into the Premier League, he's going to suddenly slap down $5 million.
No,
because I don't think, you know, the money's there.
And I don't know. I mean, it must.
I think the money.
We don't know.
We'll save per shirt because you're cutting out the middleman.
Yeah.
And so I think there's back end benefits there. So I don't know if what's in terms of the lump sum up front, how that kind of breaks down.
You might. I mean, we can make a broad assumption. Perhaps we're no worse off than we were with whatever cut Under Armour we're taking. And you'd have to assume that's the case, because the fact that we've broken the year's deals with Under Armour. I mean, purely.
Yeah, Under Armour, their share price has dropped, and they've kind of been pulling back in terms of what they've been doing in Europe. I mean, I don't know the full details there. But I don't know if it's part of a cost-cutting exercise on their part. Maybe the fact that Villa were looking a bit flaky for promotion next season, where if we'd gone up the first season, like they'd probably had hoped for, because, I mean, all they've got now is Southampton, would have been their poster boy, you know, Premier League team. I think they were in talks with Real Madrid for doing a real serious statement of intent shirt deal, but that kind of fell apart.
No, I mean, the thing is with Under Armour is that if there are a couple of positives that come out the back of tying up with someone like Luke, is that genuinely local, you know, I mean, drawing the border a bit wider than Birmingham, I know, but more local than a big corporate like
But what does that mean? Because we've criticised Villa for being parochial in the past in terms of their outlook.
Well, I mean, that's the weird thing, isn't it? I suppose that this is classic Villa being perhaps behind the curve a lot of the time, that when the globalisation element, that we're always late to the table, but when actually, you know, it's all about eat local, buy local now. You know, I'll give you a for instance, Villa push their ties to the local authority quite a lot at the moment. And as part of making sure that you can do business with the local authority, I mean, there's talk on land development of the North Stand, etc. You have to show that you're working with local companies.
Yeah.
So that's a good example, quite a very prominent thing. Presumably there's a connection to local manufacturing and jobs.
Well, that's part of the makeup of the Villa Foundation, is obviously to get that across as well.
And so, and the only other thing that I can think of, you know, in a purely slightly interesting term is that I am intrigued to see what the kit will look like. That this guy's got an opportunity as a Villa fan and as a relatively prominent designer to do something different, unique, probably as a one-off, I would have thought.
At the end of the day, the actual design part is always very subjective, as is all design.
Yeah, for sure.
A good designer is a good design,
yeah.
And you'll always get somebody who's got an issue with it. But then you've also got that... People, because there's been millions and millions and millions of pounds of marketing to make Nike the name it is, to make Adidas the name it is, and Luke, its kind of street image is, I mean, it's a bit chavvy, if you know what I mean. Sorry, Luke.
I mean, say what you mean, David. I mean, it's...
That's...
No, I know it. I know where you're coming from, and it's not refined, is it, I suppose, is what you're saying.
Well, no, I mean, it's people's perceptions. I mean, you see it in TK Maxx, and you see a lot of things, but it's not something you say, all right, I'll get it on the cheap here.
We want Hummel back.
Oh, Audrey, I'd love Hummel back.
Negatron alert! My old man said podcast arrested for defamation of Luke 1977. Please pay bail! Please pay bail!
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a good design, it's a good design. But there is that, it doesn't have... You do miss something. It's not a deal-breaker for me if it's not Nike, Adidas. You know, I don't give a shit. I'm more excited to see what league table we are actually appearing in next season than the kit. Because the home kit's always claret and blue, and it'll be a bit of a darker claret this time, we've been assured. So, you know, certain people will be happy, but we shall see. But it has a potential to go either way, actually. It could put Luke on the map more if the design's really good and, you know, there is something new about it, then it could put Luke on the map and he could get brownie points and everything's good. Or other clubs will just see it and say, well, it's not Nike or Adidas or any of the traditional names like Umbro or whatever, and then just make out with small time if we stay in the championship. Pitch awards... Funny enough, Villa didn't win it. We won it last year. Did we have a chance of defending it? No, because we should have been ripping up that pitch and relaying it, as we've discussed before.
Is this the 11-year-old pitch that Dr. Tony overruled Keith Wyness on?
Yeah, but...
that one, okay.
Shh, you're not going to say that out loud.
I know. Okay,
winners of the championship pitch this season, luckily, is Middlesbrough, because Villa will be bringing their trademark liquid football up to the Riverside Saturday, so we'll be taking advantage of that carpet-like surface and bedazzling them, and probably walking away 3-4-0 winners, probably.
At least.
So thank you to the Middlesbrough groundsmen for setting up our victorious visit.
Back to our trench on Tuesday.
And yeah, we'll need to get a few goals head start at the Riverside for when we bring them back to the mud.
Keep losing the ball down the divots.
The B6 mud. Other pitches highly commended were Fulham and Nottingham Forest. Actually, Forest's pitch is always quite nice.
Well, half of it doesn't get used because they don't attack. So
I noticed Jurgen Klopp complaining about the Baggies pitch. And is that a coincidence that they've also got a Chinese owner maybe scrimping on the pitch?
Surely not. I mean, you're suggesting that all the money's gone. I mean, the 40 million...
Well, yeah, some fans are saying that the Baggies will be in the... If we don't go up, the Baggies will be down and they'll have a hell of a lot more money than us. maybe not. Right, let's get back onto the business. Well, let's get onto the business and...
Yes. Oh, I'm excited. I'm so excited.
The Villaborough Mark II. Villaborough obviously was the nickname for Middlesbrough back in the 90s, where they signed Hugo Egiar, Gareth Southgate, George Boateng. Anybody else?
Andy Townsend.
Yeah, Andy Townsend. Forgot about that. They almost got a five-a-side team out of us.
Luke Moore.
He scored a hat-trick against them, didn't he? Mm. This time round, they have Rudi Gestede, who is injured or hasn't really played much part in their renaissance, but as well as Stuart Downing.
76 years old.
76 years old, Stuart Downing. They have, who else? Oh, Brad Guzan, but they got rid of him straight away. Oh. I was very confident about this Middlesbrough game until I saw that tweet. I don't know if you've seen, I retweeted where the
revenge they want.
Middlesbrough fan said, right, it's payback time to Villa for Brad Guzan. And you thought, oh shit! If anything's going to motivate you,
It's that.
He's right mint, he is. I remember that old woman. That's the one. He's mint, he is.
He's mint.
Brad Guzan.
That's him. That's the one. I think he's the best goalie for him.
What makes you think he's the best?
Because I watched him and he's mint, man.
Middlesbrough.
Yep.
Middlesbrough had their end of season awards when you're meant to have them at the end of the regular season. Not like Villa, who had it after Ipswich. I don't get it. Why do they have it so early?
It's because they all fly away on the day after the game. It's after the final game.
Yeah, but...
So they want to get it in,
but
they
should know we weren't looking good for automatic promotion, so...
We weren't presuming at the beginning of the season when presumably we saw it always out that we'd be promoted by now, were we? Surely.
Yeah. But yeah, it's...
Sure not.
I mean, they've cancelled them the last few years, or a few times in recent memory.
Maybe there's only so many years you can defer. Oh, yeah, you're really going to have to come this year, guys. I mean, ever since the Stephen Ireland as like player of the season and stuff.
I understand it if it's at the end of, say, the last home game,
mm.
you know, which would have been Derby. Anyway, let's not bang on about it.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In Middlesbrough's end of season awards, Adama Traore won every one that he could have. He won Young Player of the Year, he won Players Player of the Year and he won Supporters Player of the Year. And a lot of Villa fans still dismiss him as a headless chicken. And you think, oh, hang on a minute, if he's won all those awards, then that shows you that the players... are rating him, their fans are rating him, and Pulis seems to have done some good work where others have failed and others dismissed him straight off the bat.
He has come on a lot in the last 9 months, hasn't he?
I've been watching footage of him. You do see him look up a lot now.
Yeah.
That's a concern.
Well, it's proven by the fact that he's got 10 assists this season and 14 man of the match performances, and he's chipped in
five goals. And this is like... pretty much the second half of the season. Pulis, remember, his first game was against Villa, which was, what was that, the last day of December? Or the 30th of December?
Yeah.
So he's somebody, I mean, how do you cater for him? I mentioned in the last podcast with Chris Budd that I would consider for the away leg sacrificing Hourihane and obviously DM, you're obviously playing Whelan or Jedinek.
Mm.
And I would be tempted to put Bjarnason in instead of...
As a chaser,
because he plays on the left-hand side, like, naturally, and obviously that's where Traore is coming from. So you've got him as a second DM on the left-hand side more, and obviously he can, you know, break a bit more as well, but he's there to basically snuff out as soon as Traore gets into the final third, he goes to meet him.
I think that's a good shout, and I suppose the crazy thing about Traore is we had glimpses of the talent that he has, and you know the stats for the second half of the season speak for themselves. I still think he's got a rawness. He's picked up a couple of red cards as well this term.
One infamously against us.
I don't think Yeah, so that discipline's not there yet, I don't think. And those are the dark arts, I think, that you want to be playing on players like Adama Traore over 90 yeah. minutes. That I'm not saying being unsporting, but I think he could be drawn into things that he could steer clear of, and that's what you want to do.
Because I mean, going back to how do you play against him? The left hand side. I mean. Yeah. They got caught out against Fulham when we played them. But if you've got Hudson playing on the as left back, it's not his natural side. It kind of works if you're playing against a player who's going to be cutting in. But, he's not necessarily cutting in at Traore. And also on the left side of the centre-back partnership, you've got a 37-year-old John Terry. And talking about playing against, one of the fastest and most powerful players you'll find in the Championship for sure, if not in the Premier League. So that's why
I think the way that Traore breaks as well, he does naturally go for, he tries to get through the centre midfield as quickly as possible, and he's got those long striding runs, hasn't he? I think Terry was exposed badly in the latter part of his Premier League career for lack of pace, and I think that's where you might want to be. The example given that you need your DMs to be either intercepting him or hoping he runs into either a combination of Jedinak or
when we've picked up that Conor Hourihan's gone, despite him, he's obviously in double figures in terms of goals, has gone missing a few times in recent games. So I can see potentially a sacrifice there. And obviously you've got him as an impact player off the bench if things are going wrong in the first leg. And then obviously in the second leg,
take a view,
bit more attack-minded unless we've done a job up there. And obviously, play the first 11, which would include Hourihan.
Negatron alert!
Alan Hutton marking Adama Traore! Cancel Wembley Hotel reservations! Cancel Wembley Hotel reservations!
Well, I don't want to linger too much on Traore. The only thing about him, I will say, is when you saw him with your own eyes, you thought, I want to watch this. Look at the season we were watching him. We were getting slapped about everywhere. We weren't picking up any points. We weren't getting any joy. And yes, he had an injury, a couple of injuries here and there. So he was out. But at the end of the season, he was sitting on the bench doing nothing. We were there with, 17 points in the end. And you're turning up hoping at least he was playing just for the novelty value of watching him take on a whole team.
Well, he would get people off their seats, wouldn't he? There's no doubt about it. And I think that I think the conclusion we came to at the time, and we have to wind the clock back 2 or 3 years now, he was incredibly raw, but there was talent there. And very exciting direct talent as well, with incredible pace. And I know it's one example of a pretty dim period, really, but that run and cross for Carlos Hill
against Sunderland.
Another player reportedly returning to Villa Park, actually, against Sunderland. That was a superb run and goal.
In the Cup, I think he came on, was it against Notts County, where he came on as a sub and then just charged down the line, beat a few men and then whipped it in, and then obviously it was an own goal.
Yeah, I think he picked up an injury in that game too, where I think that's how teams, unfortunately, target players like Traore as well, because though he was a bit of a bull, wasn't he? He was quite a squat player, I used to think. And I used to be impressed by how much pace he would have despite that. But he was often, teams just take a view of just doing these
but
players.
But at the same time, you are focusing the team on him, and they're having to make plans, and that obviously frees up your other side and other players and create space if they're starting to commit an extra player to tackle him. I mean, in terms of formation, Middlesbrough have been... On paper, it looks like a 4-3-3, but obviously you've got your wide men, Traore and Downing. Pulis, when you defend as a team, and when you attack as a team. So it's obviously turning a bit like Lambert used to do, going 4-5-1. And they do play on the counter. I mean, they are set up to play on the counter.
I was about to say that. I mean, they've got great pace, haven't they, coming out in Traore, and a good interchanging partnership of two good goal scorers in Assombalonga and Bamford, and the ability to switch them up. That's a good setup over two legs, to be honest, because it does give them an option.
Because their midfield, Clayton, House, and Besica, they're decent on the ball and in terms of passing, whatever. So they can control a game.
Yeah, House, and he's got bags of experience at this level. Yeah. I think that they've got balance, haven't they? They've experience. I mean, obvious example is Downing's got lots of experience, hometown club. Has he still got it at this level? I have to say, I've seen him a couple of times this season. I've not been massively impressed. But he played well in the close season, by all accounts. And there's also the factor, I suppose, of returning to face against Villa as well. Where, I don't think there's any great love loss with Downing personally amongst the fans, because he joined, he was injured, he was rehabilitated, and at the first opportunity he joined.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, he's going to get booed every time he gets the ball, as he did in the previous games, and so will Traore.
Yeah.
Bamford is starting to get amongst the goals again. Bamford, I mean, obviously had that great, and it, you know, it seems like it was last season, but it's a few seasons now. Is it 2014, 2015 with Middlesbrough, where he scored more goals than he did this season? I think
almost one in two.
About 17 goals in all comps. I mean, he's tried his luck in the Premier League, but he's still young. He's 24, but for Palace and Norwich and last season at Burnley, didn't really...
He's made some poor choices. He was made some poor career loan moves, didn't he? And I think he tried to bounce off that great season at Middlesbrough at Palace and just found himself on the periphery, didn't play. Same with Norwich. And I believe with Norwich, he switched mid-season to Burnley to get some game time. I think he played over three seasons what he played in one, hadn't he? And that's obviously forced the permanent move to Middlesbrough. So I like him. I think he's a really good footballer. I mean, he's one of these players that was muted for us, but you actually wonder whether we had any intention or really committed as a club to go and get him, and Middlesbrough picked him up. And at 24, I mean, his best years are ahead of him, I'd say, as well.
He hasn't started in the first 11 in the last couple of games, so it'll be interesting to see if... I mean, I think, to be honest, Pulis will stick with how they set up against Millwall, for example, and Derby, because Derby was away, Millwall's at home. They're the two games that would replicate this playoff scenario, because obviously they're two teams that were battling out for a place in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Defence, pretty good. Decent goalkeeper, probably up there with Johnson in terms of, you know, Randolph, probably with Ruddy and Johnson, are probably the top three keepers in the league.
Solid goalkeeper as well, isn't he? I mean, this parking the Blues connection for 1 minute. He's a solid ever-present, and he pulled off two fantastic saves in their last game that I caught on the highlights. So, yeah, decent shot stopper.
Well, we've played him three times this season. We've only scored one goal. And we played 86 minutes at Villa Park, and they were down to 10 men, and we failed to score. So, I mean, that tells you a lot about their defence and their keeper. And that's in the part of the season when they hadn't really clicked into gear, and that was before Pulis came to town. We always talk about this obsession with Villa when he was at the Baggies. The last time Pulis had a chance to kick Villa in the gonads was the double date at Villa Park for West Brom, obviously in the FA Cup, and when we were floundering around the bottom, they obviously had a chance to beat... I think if they beat us at Villa Park in that league game, we would have probably gone down.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because you could say they were the favourites, because they were doing all right. I mean, I can't remember, but they weren't in the relegation battle.
Well, we were in the, at that point in time, we were in the lurch where we essentially had to win every game.
So he bottled it that time. So. And, I mean, Aston Villa don't want to be in the Championship three seasons on the trot. I mean, do you think Dr. Tony signed up for that when he bought the club? I don't think so. There's going to be a bit of introspection if we don't go up. So, but Pulis has got a great chance here to stick it to us.
Pulis has got a really good chance. And I have to say, I mean, I thought Middlesbrough were badly underperforming earlier in the season anyway. And I know there was some question marks around them opting to chop the manager. Pulis, to his credit, has got an okay Middlesbrough team playing very well. I think they've gone from being underachieving to, I think, considering where they managed to scrape in, I think they've maybe, you know, they've overperformed in the latter part of the season with Pulis. Over two legs, though, you look at our previous two games against them, and it has to be the, you know, discount the last Villa game against Millwall, but we have to go at a team like this, because I think their weakest parts are, for my view, I think it is their defensive midfield defence. I think we've got to take a game to a team. It's got to be the right Aston Villa that turns up and be getting
saying behind. That. They are set up to counter-attack. That's how they do this football lark. So it is kind of playing into their hands a little bit. But I think we've got a team that if, you know, you just got to play to your strengths and beat the team. If they haven't got the ball, they can't counter-attack. Yeah. The problem is we do give it away a bit cheaply at times.
We do at times. In terms of my broader thinking about the game is that it's set up the way we would want it, in that we go to the Riverside first. You know, a very conservative outlook would be is that go there and don't lose. I think we should go there and give them a game, and I think we've got enough, especially having rested a number of players. Our injury situation's good. I do think a number of the senior players get it. I think Bruce gets it. And coming back to Villa Park on Tuesday, at the very least, not having lost at the Riverside.
Yeah, but I don't think Bruce will go hell for leather.
I don't think so. We don't need to do anything stupid. I think the game at the Riverside could be a war of attrition, because I think that Middlesbrough would reasonably want to exploit that Traore, Sombalonga, or combination of Bamford and Sombalonga, and try and, you know, our obvious weaknesses are, you know, obviously the fullbacks, in my view, to a greater or lesser degree. Pace against Terry, but, you know, you can counter that with experience and obviously the support of Chester. But those last 20 minutes, we do have a knack of getting that, you know, the odd goal here and there. Discipline will be key for us, and I think not doing anything stupid, which we do have the capacity to do, and like you say, gifting possession away is an annoying one. But getting back to Villa Park on Tuesday night and turning the tables a little bit in front of what stands to be a full house, I think that will be an interesting, a different experience to what the Riverside might be at the weekend.
Their away form is nothing to shout about. They've won the same amount of games they've lost. It's 8-7-8, 8 wins, 7 draws, 8 losses. While you can't read too much into that, you can read that, I mean, you look at somebody like Fulham or even like Millwall in the latter stages, you know, their away records were very impressive, and obviously they're set up and they can play away well. Mm. Villa's home form is only Wolves and Cardiff were better, so that gives you the suggestion that we can, you know, finish the deal at Villa Park as long as we don't mess up the away leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we spoke about in the last podcast, Villa have generally performed when it's a full house. The Blues and the Wolves game obviously being the most prominent examples, and they need that intensity and they need to control the game like they did then.
The players need to step up, and I think we spoke a couple of podcasts ago about how we as fans, we have a big part to play in that too, that we can't be passive to this. We have to be, there's 40,000 of us there, we have to make it known that we're there and that we're, you know, I'm not going to be coining any 12th man type stuff here, but the atmosphere at times at Villa Park this season, quite randomly as well, has been flat. And this has the capacity to springboard us to Wembley and to the possibility of our, you know, we're into cliche time, but 270 minutes from Premier League football. You know, that's the fact of the matter, really, that if we can,
as Winston Churchill says, deserve victory. Yeah. So you too can help get Adama Traore sent off. Just wind him up.
Well, we have done that before.
We all pull together. We've done it once, we'll do it again.
Do it again.
But yeah, just wind him up. He's only 22. He won't know what's hit him.
A Villa dog.
I mean, let's look at the playoffs as a whole. Yep. I think there's no weak teams in there. I think Derby are now kind of rising to the occasion. When you look at the season they've had, I mean, they've spent 44 days in second position. Mm. And no other team apart from Wolves and Cardiff have been regularly in second or first, you know, for longer. So they had that spell. Mm. And I think when they played us, you know, I was like, oh shit, they've got a decent team. They've got some decent players there. I mean, Curtis Davis had a good game against Villa, pub player, but, you know, he can step up and still do a job.
Derby are an industrious team, aren't they?
Yeah, the only thing playing against Fulham, I mean, I think they can beat Fulham, by the way. Only thing they've got, like Johnson, Ledley, Huddleston in midfield, I mean, that one thing that Fulham's midfield has got is speed and energy. So have Derby, you know, are their legs a bit old there, and they, you know, potentially they could struggle against Fulham.
They could. I think each team's got their strength and their weakness, haven't they? You know, I mean, the way I look at it is that with the Villa, we've got quality, but I think we're, you know, our average age is quite high. And that I've said before, I don't think we necessarily have a clear style of play.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I think Fulham, I cannot believe Fulham haven't managed to get themselves promoted. They were on that amazing run of wins and strong form, weren't they? And then they had that stutter that culminated with them losing against Blues and Cardiff pipping them to second with the draw against Reading. As you just said, they got lots of pace across the team. They moved the ball well and very, you know, what I would consider to be a very good continental style of play. Derby a Rowett personified, really, dogged. You know, they've got lots of experience as well. Where I think that they could struggle in the playoffs is that their inconsistency since they are at the top of the league in second. You know, I think they've struggled where they might win a couple of games.
But that doesn't really matter when you get into the playoffs. I mean, I think the main thing is, can they cope with Fulham's, you know, stealth and speed? Because down both flanks, Fulham electrocuted Villa in both of the Craven Cottage games over the last couple of seasons. And the thing is that team has been together. Jankovic's team, I mean, they fluffed their lines in the playoffs last season against Reading when they were big favourites to beat them in the semis. And I think that there's a bit of that Birmingham's result would have put a seed of doubt in their mind. They weren't that impressive against Brentford. They struggled against Sunderland, who obviously were bottom of the table. Although, you know, Sunderland suddenly sprang to life and spanked Wolves on the last day. Although, you know, Wolves didn't give a shit about that, I don't think. If I was neutral and you gave me £10 and here's the odds, I think at the moment it's Fulham favourites, then it's Villa, then Middlesbrough, then it's Derby outsiders. I would put that tenner on Middlesbrough from the point of view that I think they're like 4-1, 5-1, so it's good value. They were in the Premier League last season. They're the only team out of these four that were in the Premier League last season. And when I mention that, it's just they have the players. I mean, we've discussed them. That they're no, and now they're organised, and obviously Pulis is organised. And Pulis has only obviously had half a season, so they're not completely like the Pulis team. But when Villa went second after they beat the Blues, this is like around Valentine's Day, so mid-February, Borough's form over the next 14, 15 games has been better than Villa by 4 or 5 points. So if you're just looking at the last 3 months of the season, I mean, Fulham are obviously the hottest team, and then it would be Borough, then Villa, then Derby. So I think if we can get through Borough, that to me, that's the hardest task ahead. Beating Fulham, you know, playing anybody at Wembley, one-off game, I think we'll have, our fans against Fulham fans fancy that, no problem. Fulham, the family club. Yeah. Our away fans, you know, pretty notorious for this league.
Going to be wild.
And we've got big-time players, so it'll be the youth and exuberance of Fulham, you know, versus a lot of our players who have kind of been there, done that. And some of them need to still prove themselves because, you know, Snodgrass, you know, hasn't got that many trophies in his cabinet, has he? Or medals.
No, I think that's the one thing as well. That we bring to the table. And there's other sides to it, not just Snodgrass, of course. I do think Terry genuinely wants to have something to say that he's achieved this season. And though I think holding the championship trophy aloft would have been his preference, that he lives for those sort of occasions, being on the TV and on that weekend. It's the main spectacle, isn't it? So, you know, it'll be full kit wanker whether he's on the pitch or not. if he could get us.
But it's the weird one for me. I'll be honest, I'm not that excited about these playoffs. For me, it's more about getting promotion, and that's more relief than anything. It's like the nightmare is over, kind of thing. I mean, if we lost in the playoffs against Middlesbrough or in the final against either Fulham or Derby, it will feel like being relegated again.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I've thought about it a couple of times as we've been talking. Shall I mention the what if? I'm reluctant to, because it would I think that the autopsy or the dissection of our season that would follow would be very tricky. I don't even want to talk about the impact in terms of financial fair play and the impact of loss of parachute.
Loss of pride.
I mean, for all we've said about Borough, and I do agree that they're the dark horses, I'd be really disappointed if we couldn't beat them over two legs. And with the greatest respect to Borough, I think that they're in transition with Pulis. They're in the right direction. But Bruce has had 2 years to get this team together and in some shape. And as you've said, we're in the best shape and we're in the best position. We've invested the most. Not the most this season necessarily, but the cleverest over 18 months, I think, in terms of improving our team. And I look at Fulham, a bit of arrogance about me, and I just think that, if we got to Wembley, I think that shouldn't we have enough just to roll through as a massive club?
We're a big club. We're coming through. We're coming through.
Just roll the motherfuckers out. We're coming through, Fulham, with your fucking neutral stand. Give it a rest. And Derby they're just not Premier League for me.
The Derby game, as the second half at Villa Park, it turned into an open game and it turned into a firefight. And if it turns into like a firefight at Wembley, I think we'll take them out. No doubt about that. Yeah. I think they can beat us, but I think we would do them. Fulham, the first half at Craven Cottage, when we didn't have Grealish, we didn't have Adomar, and we're essentially relying on Bjarnason, who was still mad after being dropped against Wolves, to kind of lead the charge. And he kind of did. And for the first half, we were kind of in that game without having to do anything, you know, particularly good. And, you know, let's not forget, if Johnston didn't fluff his lines for that second goal, it would have been, you know, it would have still been 1-0. But, you know, Fulham deserved winners. But we didn't have a couple of our main men. And we were kind of in that game in the first half. And if we had a full team, there's nothing to be scared of, really.
We mustn't be scared, because this is what it's all about, isn't it? That, you know, this is the. I mean, we find ourselves where we are because
I don't want to be disrespectful for Fulham, but it's not as if we're going into a Wembley final against Liverpool, no. Manchester United, or Chelsea.
And I think that, I mean, I didn't make the point as subtly as you did, perhaps. But that's kind of what I have in the back of my mind, that we're not, you know, we're not going to be, obviously, fingers crossed we get through the Middlesbrough game, because I think that would be painful. But, you know, when we're walking on it onto the terrace at Wembley, that, you know, you're not looking back at, you know, I think just in recent years, you know, it's not Sanchez lining up against us for Arsenal. It's not Drogba for Chelsea.
Lampard.
It's not Lampard. It's not. And
Vidic.
You know, I think that we... Vidic. And what was that fucking line referee's name? Phil Dowd.
That bastard.
I've still got him in my my drawer of voodoo dolls and samba mambas. I beat him every evening to death with the tip of it. Memories.
So I just remembered at the start of the season, you predicted Villa would finish, I think, was it fourth, fifth? I was saying that, yep. Well, maybe second, but probably third. So we'll give you that one.
Yes.
Give
you. You're going to bring Cardiff.
Hey.
On now,
aren't you? Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Well, the good news is that in between concerned DMs from people saying, "Hope you're all right. Hope everything's okay." It's interspersed with Cardiff fans saying, "You fucking wanker, have some of that, you prick." Hello, Cardiff. I'd just like to congratulate you on your promotion, which I didn't predict.
So you got your Villa, spot on to the T, and Cardiff.
Yeah. I can't believe they've got promoted. I mean, let's just be honest. Come on.
In the Christmas period, they lost four games on the trot, and I thought, well, there you go. The Dan Rogers prophecy.
Curse.
Has finally come true a bit later than we expected, because we're expecting them to drop off, I don't know, November or whatever. But then they rallied the coaches, yep. And made the circle and just fought off the Indians and marched on. Even, you know, even let Grealish score a goal at Villa Park against them and still managed to...
Are they not going to be the worst Premier League team in history? Is that... Is it just
well,
me?
All the teams that got promoted last season stayed up, and you would Huddersfield, I thought, better team than Cardiff. Brighton,
so. Yeah,
much
yeah.
better. Newcastle last season, much better.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that. But
yeah.
What does that tell us when it comes to the analysis of has Bruce been a success? Unfortunately, the fact that Neil Warnock took the job in the same week as Bruce started at Villa on far less resources and has managed to mould an outfit out of Cardiff that includes Joe Bennett.
Oh, fuck God. Jesus.
And got them automatic promotion. I mean, it says everything of what... Oh, that's the championship. Well, that's the championship, Mr. Bruce. If Warnock can do that, then, you know, what's happening? I mean, if Fulham went up, Fulham would remind you more of how kind of Brighton were playing. Mm-hmm. Huddersfield were a bit more hustle and bustle, but let's not forget, Huddersfield managed to get promoted through the playoffs without actually scoring a goal in the playoffs, which maybe that's something that Bruce might try to replicate. or Tony Pulis, maybe, I don't know. So, predictions for the playoffs, what's going to happen?
1-1 at the Riverside, 2-0 at Villa Park.
Fulham Derby.
But to who?
But to who?
Fulham Derby, I think Fulham will beat Derby over two legs.
And then in the final?
What do you think?
What do I think? I think I'm gonna have to... This is a Villa podcast, is it?
It is.
Yeah, well...
amazing.
Hold on a minute, I'm just on my betting app here. Yeah. 50 quid on Borough at 5-1. Managed to get 5-1 on Borough. That's pretty good. There's two scenarios that keep going around in my head. One is low scoring, like 1-0 to Middlesbrough and then 0-0 at Villa Park. Oh, sorry, it's a Villa podcast. 0-0 at the Riverside and then 1-0 at Villa Park.
Spontaneously combusted then at the thought.
But the other thought is this game, despite what was, you know, what the perception is, the initial perception of Bruce versus Pulis, you're thinking, oh God, that's going to be excited. This game could combust. I mean, there's some players.
I think the second leg,
I think
has
the Villa Park
to...
game could go a bit wild.
Yeah,
just,
I think so.
If Villa get through this the semi-final, I think there's the interesting comparison is Mitrovic of Fulham versus Graban. Of Villa, because I've been trying to think about what is the weakness of Graban. Why hasn't he made a name for himself, because he looks like a bit of a Rolls Royce of a player. He kind of glides around, he's got great technique, knows where the goal is, and thing that I've suggested might be missing is a bit of fire in his belly, which Mitrovic has in spades, because he's a madman. I mean, he used to spend most of the time getting sent off at Newcastle. But he's managed to quell himself, you know, to the extent of staying on the pitch, and he scored for fun for Fulham, and he's part of the reason why they're there. So that's, I mean, Terry versus him, that would be interesting.
Well, yeah,
so I think for Villa to triumph, to answer the first question about the Middlesbrough game and to win the final, I think Graban has to step up. I'm not criticising him because I think he's done pretty well so far, but he'll be the difference.
A lot rests on him, actually, but more than you can realise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, people talk about Grealish, blah, 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 but I think at the end, you know, when it boils down to it, I think Graban will be the man. If he turns up and he's got the fire in his belly, the grit between his teeth, then he will lead us to the promised land and then join West Brom on loan next season. To keep this show going and to pay for Dan Rogers to upgrade his WhatsApp capabilities, it would be great to get some more patrons. I mean, probably need double the patrons, really, to carry on going on next season. Go to the myoldmansaid.com website and click on Patreon, and please do join up, whatever the amount a month, even if it's just like a dollar or a pound or whatever. It all helps big time. So thanks for that. If we lose to Middlesbrough, we're going to buy a season ticket at Burnley and follow their great European adventure, because I'm sure their shirt designer is going to do a better claret and blue than this Luke chap.
We just wear our Luke ones to the Burnley games and see if anyone notices. Because, you know, let's be
right. That's it.
Before our glorious march to Wembley, we must draw things to a close.
And please, ladies and gentlemen, no encroachment on the pitch. If we win against Middlesbrough over two legs, it's only a bloody playoff semi-final. I know you've never experienced a playoff before, but it's what the lower classes normally involve themselves in.
But, caveat. You may run on the pitch if you're that man who had the rubber dildo suctioned cupped to his bald head. Please do run on the pitch for my amusement.
Do you know what his excuse was for that?
His excuse. He mitigated that in court, did he?
No. You know, obviously he went a bit viral on social media, and everybody was obviously it was a red rag to the Blues and Baggies fans or whatever. But he said, you know, I was one of these people responsible for rallying the troops to bring balloons and flags and all that kind of stuff to have a party atmosphere. He said, well, people talked about let's have a party. So I thought, let's have an Ann Summers party. And he thought, now, this guy's either A, quite funny in a kind of a surreal way, or B, just talking literally with no humour in it whatsoever.
I would love to have been in assuming he went to a shop and how may we help you today, sir? Special occasion? Well, I'm planning on invading the pitch at Villa Park. Ah, sir, just the thing for you. The Ultra Vibe 2000.
Have you got a claret dildo? No, purple, will that do? Yeah, close enough.
Sorry, Stefan Possmer's just been in and bought the last one.
allegedly. Right, until
our glorious victory at Villa Park.
Until we're crying as we wait to get higher up in the queue online to purchase Wembley tickets, we will bid you adieu.
Adieu.
Until next time, goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Order, order. The right honourable gentleman representing the rotten borough of Aston, Mr. Gabriel Agbonlahor.
When I stood before the host end 13 years ago, I asked the club to fix this afternoon as the occasion for the statement. My time here draws to a close. The might of my empire, so highly regarded, once so promising, can no longer be depended upon. It's my unfortunate duty to report that my career was curtailed. Partly through my own misadventure. Partly through the merciless, relentless, and indeed overpowering advances of our enemies from all sides. You shall need no reminder, sir. Milner, Young, Downing, Christian Benteke, and who can forget Admiral Gareth Barry, were lost in a ceaseless barrage from those who wished to stake their claim to rule the world. Indeed, we are also victims of treachery from Fabian Delph. Further, we were subjected to crass incompetency through Tonev, Westward, McCoon, Bradley, et al. Mr. Speaker, my blistering pace, once unopposed, has faded. The ability to strike with precision and free will at the heart of defences has long since been nullified. It's therefore my duty to report to you that whilst great promise lay at my disposal, hindsight affords me to reconsider that my career will be recalled as one of unfulfilled promise. But, sir, amongst the darkness there remains light. Though recent decline should not be overlooked, nor should valiant victories or marked improvements be readily dismissed. Captain Terry, highly decorated and experienced in the field, does much to restore the faith in a battalion scarred with memories of Lescott, Richards, Senderov, Baker, and Vlar. The future, whilst far from secure, must surely be brighter. At the very least, we have intent on our side. And so it is, sir, that Derby days will forever be etched in immovable history. Birmingham City, a realization of Tolkien's Mordor, remains a conquered, beleaguered enemy, for whom I have repeatedly and dutifully put to the sword. For this, Mr. Speaker, I am perhaps best to be remembered. What we must not do is look backward into an ignominious and starving captivity confined to the championship. Our destiny lies upwards, where hopefully we belong. But alas, it will be without me.
My old man said.
Negatron alert!
Albert Adoma has failed to score in 10 games! Do swap deal with Borough for Rudiger Stead! Swap for Rudiger Stead!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.